Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This legislative leadership team will be prepared to work in partnership with Governor-elect Christie to face the issues in bipartisan fashion. We will be fair and we will look for common ground.
So yesterday, New Jersey's Democratic legislators, they control both houses of the legislature, voted new leadership for the session that will start January 12th. You just heard the newly elected Assembly Speaker, Sheila Oliver, the first African-American woman to fill that post. Here is the new Senate President, Stephen Sweeney.
The people of New Jersey said they want change in Trenton. I share the people's desire for fresh perspectives and new ideas in longstanding problems that we face. And that is what this entire team, the Senate and the Assembly, will bring to the table.
It's hard enough for Corzine to work with the Democratic legislature. What's it going to be like for Chris Christie, and what's he going to be like for them? Joining me to find out what these changes might mean and to talk about some lame duck legislation, like whether gay marriage or medical marijuana might get through in the next few weeks, since Corzine would sign those bills, but Christie won't, Star Ledger columnist Tom Moran. Hey, Tom, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Brian, happy to be here.
The former Assembly Speaker, to start there, didn't run for re-election, so there was an open position to fill. But Senator Sweeney is replacing Richard Cody, who wanted to keep his job. Why the change? Is this all fallout from Corzine's loss?
No, it's not fallout from Corzine's loss, Brian. It actually started before then. What it's fallout from is Joe Roberts stepping down as Speaker in the Assembly. He represented a district in South Jersey, and the people from the South wanted to have leadership somewhere. So they went after Cody and installed Steve Sweeney, who's also from the South. So if you look at it through that lens of North-South, the South wanted to make sure they could replace Roberts in a senior position. And the boss down there, a guy named George Norcross, has been gunning for Cody for many years. So this was an opportunity for him. And
is this just about which region gets more state resources, more money for their stuff? Most of our listeners are in northern New Jersey. What do they have to fear from more power for George Norcross?
Well, I don't think they have much to fear because it's not more power. He's preserving his power. Mm-hmm. He had the Speaker of the Assembly. Now he'll have the President of the Senate.
Okay. Swapping houses.
And, of course, there are other dynamics at work. It primarily is this North-South battle. But then there are a bunch of people who didn't like Cody over the years who flaked off. And there, when there's movement in general, that opens up new chairman spots, and a lot of ambitions were satisfied through this because you got a shuffle in the chairmanships.
I thought everybody loved Richard Cody. When he took over temporarily on two different occasions as governor, when McGreevy stepped down and then when Corzine was injured in the car accident, and there was the time that he could have been the heir apparent to McGreevy apparently as governor, but then Corzine came in with his hundreds of millions of dollars and kind of swept him aside, and people went, ugh, that Corzine. I like Richard Cody. Didn't everybody like Richard Cody?
Yeah, that's about true, Brian, what you're saying. His popularity while he was governor for a year and a half period or so hovered around 70-75%, which is way more popular than I've ever seen any governor. He's a very likable guy. I think regular people can relate to him.
But he couldn't hang on.
And he did a respectable job on the substance of it, too. He did some brave stuff like cut property tax rebates that we couldn't afford. People didn't like that, but they respected his tackling the problem.
But he couldn't hold on to his leadership.
Right. I mean, his detractors in the Senate, I mean, if you're talking about the population out there, regular people in New Jersey, he remains pretty popular. But within the legislature, there's this battle between him and George Norcross that has been going on for so many years. And Norcross is restless. He's constantly making deals with people to try to sort of surround Cody. It's a big chess game that's been going on for years, and he finally struck pay dirt.
So there's some speculation that the legislature might try to put through some bills now while they still have a Democratic governor. As I said coming into the segment, things that Chris Christie wouldn't sign, particularly marriage equality and medical marijuana. What's the likelihood of that in either case?
I think medical marijuana is very likely, and gay marriage is unlikely by a hair. I'm guessing on this, Brian. It could pass. The question first for gay marriage is, will the Democrats even put it to a floor vote? Because there are a lot of Democrats who are nervous about this vote, a lot because of the opposition from the Catholic Church that collected a couple 100,000 signatures. They're nervous about it, and so they don't want this to come to vote, most of them. There's a bunch of other voters who say, well, I'll vote for it if I have to, but I'd rather not see it come up at all because they see it as a dangerous vote. It's better to, it's safer to just not discuss it. On the other hand, there are a lot of Democrats who really believe pretty passionately in this, and there are a handful of Republicans, and you need both. Democrats don't have enough to get it done on their own.
So who's working what angles to try to get this brought to a vote, or are there particular names? You know, in New York State, across the river, there's this constant naming of names, headcounts. Media outlets can tell you exactly which state senators in New York are still undecided because it's close there, too. Is this kind of thing going on in New Jersey?
It is, but it's at an earlier stage. I mean, I have a list, but most of it's just off-the-record stuff I still have to check out. But there are about 23 Democrats in a 40-member chamber, and there are six or seven Democrats who are not likely to vote for it. So they need four Republicans. It's somewhere around those numbers. But, yeah, within the you know, the halls, there's some knowledge. Dick Cody, the Senate president, favors it. And whether or not he will put it on the floor hinges on what his fellow Democrat senators think, because he remains the leader until January. So they had a big caucus discussion about this yesterday in which several senators said, please don't put it to a vote. Another said, we have to. This is a gut check. This is a civil rights issue. And they're undecided at this point.
And medical marijuana?
Medical marijuana seems like a smoother ride. It's being amended so that it really to restrict the conditions under which you can get medical marijuana. The early versions had the chronic pain, and there was some fear that a lot of people would say, you know, come to think of it, I've had a headache for 4 years, so give me a prescription here. So they're tightening that up to be certain specific illnesses, and that has to go through both houses. But I think it'll pass. And even Chris Christie said that he would sign something as long as those restrictions were in place.
And there's some other kind of drug law debate that's for the lame duck session, right?
Yeah, this is a huge one, actually. New Jersey has some of the harshest drug laws in the country. And we have our prisons are filled with nonviolent drug offenders. And the main offender to this is a law we have that if you're arrested within 1,000 feet of a school, you get a 3-year mandatory term. That's landed almost entirely on black and Latinos, 96%, because in a city like Newark, you have to be out in the middle of the airport runway to be more than 1,000 feet from a school, whereas in the suburbs, most of these towns are outside those school zones. So you have basically a two-tiered system. There's one lenient form of justice in the suburbs and a much harsher one in the cities. In addition, it just doesn't work. You know, you get the addicts in there. They don't get treatment. They wind up getting released, and most of them are back in 2 years. $48,000 a head. So there's a lot of interest in fixing that, diverting more people into treatment, more like other states do. And that has a pretty good shot in lame duck. It would basically amend this by saying judges could waive the mandatory.
So this is, again, in New York comparison terms, kind of like the Rockefeller drug laws of New Jersey?
Exactly.
When we open this segment, so do you think that's going to pass before we get off that? That's going to pass?
Yes, I do.
And Corzine would sign that and Christie would not sign that?
No, my guess is Christie would sign that too. He hasn't taken a position, but he criticized the way we fight the drug war during the campaign and said, we do need to stop putting so many nonviolent people in jail and divert addicts into treatment. So I think he'd probably sign it too. It's politically difficult because it's easy to demagogue this on the other side and say, well, so-and-so, this senator, you know, doesn't care about protecting your children from drug dealers. So they all want to cast this vote as far away from an election as they can, which is why it's in lame duck.
Right. And it's the kind of thing that prosecutors, at least local DAs, often object to. Chris Christie was a U.S. attorney, which is a different kind of prosecutor. But traditionally, somebody coming out of that prosecutor background would say, no, this takes a tool out of prosecutors' hands to fight drug gangs.
Yeah, the New Jersey Association of County Prosecutors actually endorsed this change.
Uh-huh, really?
Yeah, their main objection, Brian, was this whole racial disparity thing. You can't have two systems of justice based on geography in the state. So they sent somebody to testify on it yesterday, and they had a retired judge who handled who chaired a sentencing commission that looked at it. It's really hard to find a cogent argument against this one, to be honest.
With this change now in power at the governor's level, I can't say a change in Drumthwacket since nobody ever lives there, but we heard the clips at the beginning of the new leaders of the two houses of the legislature. They're both Democrats, pledging bipartisanship and understanding that the voters voted for change, even though Democrats are still in power in the legislature. So how are they expected to work with Governor Christie? Can we take them at their word when it comes to bipartisanship, or what will this mean on important issues?
Well, you know, they also said yesterday, we'll be bipartisan, but we'll stick to our democratic principles in protecting the vulnerable and XYZ. You know, mm-hmm. so they sent signals on both sides of that, I think. Where there's some potential real common ground, I think, is in trying to do something about the benefits and salaries that public workers get. Steve Sweeney, the new Senate president, is best known for his fight over that a couple of years ago. He's a union guy, an iron worker, but he took the strongest position opposing the state workers' union on some of the benefits and salaries they get. So Christie sounded that same note. So there will be some common ground there, especially since we have an $8 billion budget gap. But beyond that, it's anybody's guess. We are really curious to see how this is going to work.
All right. Well, we're going to have to wait and see when the new era takes effect. And in the meantime, we'll see if medical marijuana, if marriage equality, if drug law reform passed during the last weeks of the Corzine administration. Tom Moran, columnist for the Star Ledger. Thanks a lot, as always.
Okay, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we'll get to those two internet discussions. Really, in decade-long terms, Wikipedia and Google may be the two biggest internet trends of the last 10 years, and they both may be showing some creaks now. Stay with us.